Good morning. This meeting of the House Education Committee will come to order. Today is Wednesday, April 6, 2022, and the time is 8 a.m. here in the Betty Davis Committee Room in the Alaska State Capitol in Juneau. Members of House Education present are Representative Ron Gillum, Representative Greyer Hopkins, Representative Mike Prox, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Harriet Drummond. We have a quorum to conduct business. Before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone to silence their cell phones. Today, our recording secretary is Lori Rowland, remotely, and Talia Ames is our LIO moderator in the room, assisting with tech and teleconferencing support. Thank you both. We will be adjourning this meeting at 8:30, so let's get going. Today, we have one item on the agenda, House Bill 413, Facilities Constituting a School, which is a House Education Committee companion bill to Senate Bill 236. And is intended to fix a very specific problem which is currently only encountered in Hooper Bay in the Lower Yukon School District. Please note that updated fiscal notes were provided at your desks this morning. First, I will ask my staff to briefly introduce the bill. George, you know the drill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is George Ascott, staff to Representative Harriet Drummond. House Bill 413 seeks to remedy an apparent unfairness in the education funding formula that affects the Lower Yukon School District. There is a section of the funding formula which makes up most of the text of this bill and currently applies only to the Lower Yukon School District. That is because this section applies to any school with a community in Alaska that has an average daily membership of over 425 in a single facility and serves grades K through 12. Hooper Bay was originally the only community in Alaska to meet these standards. But because the Lower Yukon School District recently decided to open a charter school in Hooper Bay, the community is now seen as having two schools, which puts them in a different section of the funding formula, losing them two adjustments, costing the district about $1 million. It would seem like the school district is trying to provide a greater variety of services for students without increasing costs, and they are inadvertently being punished for it. HB 413 just adds three words to the law excluding charter schools. These three words allow the school district to restore its full funding and removes financial disincentives in considering a charter school application. The bill also has an effective date of July 1, 2022. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Ascott. I want to note that Representative Kronk joined us at 8:02 and Representative Story at 8:03. Welcome. I want to note that Elwin Blackwell, school finance manager from Deed, is available this morning for questions. And now we will hear invited testimony from Gene Stone, Chief School Administrator, Lower Yukon School District. Mr. Stone, can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. If you would put your name and affiliation on the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yes. Good morning, members of House Education Committee. My name is Gene Stone, and I am the Chief School Administrator, basically superintendent as well, of the Lower Yukon School District. I'm here today to speak about HB 413. I've worked in the Lower Yukon School District for 5 years, three of those years as chief of operations, and the past 2 years as the chief school administrator. On behalf of the Lower Yukon School District, allow me to express our appreciation for the introduction of HB 413. The district is in full support of HB 413. HB 413 will remedy a funding issue that unfairly penalizes the Lower Yukon School District for opening a charter school in Hooper Bay. The penalty within the statute for adding a charter school in Hooper Bay resulted in an annual reduction in funding of $1,033,000 for fiscal year 2021 and $1,021,000 for fiscal year 2022. Until this funding penalty is remedied, LYSD will lose approximately $1 million annually. The district operates two separate educational programs in the Hooper Bay School. The conventional K-12 school is a 4-8 charter school that features a culturally relevant, place-based learning curriculum for its students. Additionally, the school has a K-3 UPIC immersion program, but is not part of the charter school and functions as part of the conventional school as a special program. Some may argue that HB 413 has a fiscal note to the state of Alaska of $1 million annually. LYSD sees the opposite. To date, our loss of foundation funding has resulted in fiscal surplus to the state of $2 million for fiscal year 21 and fiscal year 22. As a result of the Hooper Bay Charter School, our district has the same number of students, the exact same students, inside the same school building, and yet we realize a funding penalty of over $1 million per year. By adding the three words, excluding charter schools, to Alaska Statute 14.17.905, the annual funding penalty is remedied, and it becomes feasible to fund Hooper Bay's charter school. As it stands now, the statute is punitive, and this unintended $1 million annual funding penalty impacts our entire school district and effectively jeopardizes rural Alaskans' access to school choice. HB 413 would remedy this funding problem and support charter school equity for rural Alaska schools. Thank you for sponsoring and scheduling this legislation. Thank you for your time and consideration, and I'm open for any questions you might have. I also have our Chief Financial Officer, Andrew Leavitt, available. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stone. Just a quick request, if you would email your testimony to house.education@akleg.gov, I would greatly appreciate it, and so would the recording secretary. We have at least a couple of questions for you. Representative Prox.
Thank you, Co-Chair Drummond. Excuse me for being completely ignorant about this, but this is the first I've thought about it. Through the chair, I guess the first thought that comes to my mind is, why do you need a separate charter school? Why is this not being done through the existing school, which would, off the top of my head, seem to solve the problem for you? You must have a logical answer for that.
Well, I do.
Go ahead. You need to put your name on the record just briefly as you speak, as we have a lot of similar sounding voices, and it helps the recording secretary. Thank you.
Yeah, and again, who am I addressing?
This is
Representative Mike Prox of North Pole.
Okay. So this is Gene Stone responding to Representative Prox. My response to that is, the Department of Education and Alaska, I believe, has responded favorably to all those entities throughout the state that would like to offer school choice. And in essence, that's what's occurred in Hooper Bay. We believe it was done with the blessing of the state school board. And this is a community that has been, in many ways, underserved, has underperformed, and you really can't blame a locality for saying that they would like to operate with some autonomy and try something different. And so the charter school conversation had been going on for several years. It accelerated, and it was approved in June, which made it difficult to remedy it when we realized what the language is, and then we had COVID. So it's really been a, a combination of different events that have made this more complicated than we would have hoped it would have been. But the bottom line is, as the district and as a school, they shouldn't be treated any differently in terms of their desire to offer school choice and to have a charter school.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Prox. Mr. Stone, I have a question. You mentioned two amounts of money. We have a fiscal note in front of us for $1,082,700, and you mentioned a slightly different amount in your in your opening statement. Can you explain the difference between those two amounts, and when in the time frame did those I guess their penalty amounts occur?
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Chair, this is Gene Stone responding, Lower Yukon School District. And the answer to that is it comes down to the ADM. And so it's the numbers are going to fluctuate slightly every year. And so it's just part of the formulaic component. And so it's probably going to waver anywhere, you know, from $25,000 to $50,000 each year. But it's really going to land in the area of somewhere between $1 million and $1.1 million annually.
Okay, great. That helps. And then my next question is, has the school district already suffered this $1 million penalty, or is this bill intended to keep that penalty from happening?
Again, this is Gene Stone responding to Representative Drummond. The penalty has occurred, so the district has already incurred the loss of approximately $2 million.
And my follow-up to that would be, I thought that there was a relief period of several years that allowed that penalty to take place less quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know if Mr. Blackwell or Mr. Leavitt can respond to that, considering that the charter school opened in the 20 to 21 school year. It seems to me that you should have had some relief prior to this point.
Yeah. Again, Gene Stone responding. There was a remedy before the charter school. We had a 1 to 2 year period where statute actually corrected what had been happening, where waivers were provided, and ultimately, because of the size of the school, what ultimately ended up happening is when that a new statute came to address the 425 threshold, then the charter school came and there wasn't language to it. And so it was just kind of, you know, what I'd call kind of the perfect storm. They hit at the same time. I do have either Andrew Leavitt available that could address that more. They were actually in the district at the time of that statute change. I believe it was 2016 or 2017.
This is Andrew Leavitt to the chair. So I believe what you're
Leavitt, could you put your affiliation on the record in addition to your name?
Okay, this is Andrew Leavitt. I'm Chief Business Officer at the Lower Yukon School District. I believe what you were referring to was the hold harmless provision, which is when ADM, like if a school were to drop below a certain level and the funding were to decrease, there's a hold harmless where it kind of it takes you down like to 75, like to a 25% over, I think, 4 or 5 years. And in this case, hold harmless was not triggered.
Because your school population didn't change.
Correct.
A number of students are in the charter school within the larger school in Hooper Bay, but the total number of students didn't change, hence the hold harmless clause did not apply. Am I reading that correctly?
Essentially, yeah. So I think it's the ADM or the adjusted ADM that was not a big enough drop on essentially a district-wide scale to trigger hold harmless.
Okay, thank you. Additional questions. Representative Story.
Hi, yes, thank you, Co-Chair Drummond. Yeah, I'm trying to understand and even think about what questions I can ask to help clarify the situation you're in. And so I kind of have a series of them. One is, if you were to, why does the school board not just reconfigure, have a school within a school, and your funding would go back up to the $1 million extra, if I am understanding you correctly. So that's one thought. It seems like I really would at some point like to hear from ALAZBO to see how this affects other charter schools, and if the a bill change shouldn't be excluding Hooper Bay Charter School versus charter schools. Because when we have gone to approve charter schools in the Juneau School District, there's a business plan about how the school district will fund it and, you know, that helps weigh whether the district is going to do a charter school or not. And there are certain ADMs that the charter school has to plan to grow to, really try and make that magic number so it's affordable. So I'm just trying to understand your situation, but then also understand if we changed it to excluding charter schools, how that may affect charter schools in general across the state. So I don't know if we're going to need to have a LASVO or deed on, but so there's a couple of questions in there. Thank you. And the first question was, can the school board not just reconfigure school within a school and you'll have your $1 million back, if I'm understanding correctly what you're saying?
Mr. Stone or Mr. Levin?
Yes.
That was co-chair Representative Andy Story asking that question.
Okay. This is Gene Stone responding to co-chair Story. So just like any place throughout the state of Alaska, all schools could have just been special mission schools and wouldn't have been a charter school and would have fell under just one administration. Charter schools are really about the ability to offer choice. And so in essence with this, the way the formula exists now and statute exists, that would be saying that no, Hooper Bay is never eligible for a charter school. And if they do, then the district will incur a $1 million plus penalty annually. We just find that that's not equitable and that a district that and a board that went through the process, they did provide a business plan. They did go through the state school board. And as the process was occurring, it was actually approved quicker by the state school board than we thought, and it was difficult for us to get in front of the actual funding. We had talked to the department about the funding issue, and they told us that the only way that we would be able to address this is through statute. So we thought that we would be able to remedy it within the year, but COVID came, and so we were unable to. It's a unique model, and ideally, they would have their own, and that's their business plan, is to eventually have their own facility in their own building. They originally couldn't do that, and, you know, so they exist within the school. So I think the district's done everything they can to try to provide school choice and something different, a unique model, and like I said, it's a culturally relevant place-based learning model for fourth through eighth grade. Often the, you know, research would show often that's where there's engagement issues for that group, and they respond often to, better to a place-based or hands-on types of learning activities that are have a local flavor to them. And so our board felt that it was important to go ahead and move the initiative forward, and the state school board as well. So, and also, I just wanted to add, it does not impact and won't impact any other school in the state of Alaska. This is just an issue that, unfortunately, only impacts Hooper Bay School and the Lower Yukon School District. And Elwin is available; he could speak to that too.
I'm sorry. Was that just speaking? Was that Mr. Stone or Mr. Levitt?
That's Mr. Stone.
Okay, thank you. Let's handle Representative Story's follow-up question, and then we'll talk to Mr. Blackwell.
Thank you. And yes, and of course, school choice is really important, and I think I can't speak for all members, but I think we're pretty supportive of school choice. And I think about Juneau School District, we have the Montessori program, and that's an optional program in the school district, so it offers choice, but it's not called a charter school, but they have their own curriculum. You know, their facilities are within one of our, in one of our buildings here. So I'm just wondering if the school board at this time has considered, in just looking at ways to solve this problem of making it not a charter school, but an optional program, whatever, I don't know the name that you call your charter school, but offering it at a school within a school. And I'm just suggesting run the numbers on that and see if that doesn't, you know, solve a problem. And then I guess when you say it just affects, actually, I should, first of all, has your school board looked into, so you're telling me that if we just put the students back, if your students were just all within your original model, you would be getting $1 million more. So I'm just wondering, was the school board considered doing that and calling it still a choice, but calling it an optional school?
We, Representative Story, this is Gene Stone.
Is that Mr. Stone again?
Yes, this is Gene Stone responding, Lower Yukon School District. Representative Story, the any school throughout the state could do that. And basically what people will contend is, why would Hooper Bay, we could do that. And that's just skirting the real issues. And it's also denying them the opportunity to have an independent charter school and to have their own independent administration. So if it fell as a special mission school under that umbrella of Hooper Bay School, it would, it would remedy the financial piece, but it would disallow choice.
Follow-up rep story.
And again, I'm trying to understand that, and again, it just comes from my experience that, seeing in junior Montessori program, which is an optional program within a school, they very much have their own discretion. So I guess I just have to understand that better, how they don't, the district doesn't have choice by the different labels. So maybe I can talk more about that later. But when it says it won't affect any other school in the state, I don't know who else can verify that and verify future scenarios. So I don't know, maybe that's speaking with the LASVO. And what would you think if the language was a change to just say excluding the Hooper Bay Charter School versus excluding charter schools?
Representative Story, this is Gene Stone responding to that from Lower Yukon School District. Elwin is online, and he could address that.
Mr. Blackwell, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. And for the record, this is Elwin Blackwell with the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. To answer the question, this change would literally only affect the Hooper Bay School in Lower Yukon at this time. The reason being is we don't have any other school in the rural areas that are anywhere near 425 ADM. So Hooper Bay is in a unique situation where their school has exceeded 425 ADM. And back in 2018, a remedy was put into statute to fix the issue with Hooper Bay going over 425 and no longer getting a two adjustments. We made that fix. They started to get their two adjustments, but then when the charter school was approved, they then ended up having two facilities, which knocked them out of that fix. By making this change in the statute, we would then be able to go back and look at the charter school separate from the K-12 facility and once again go and give two adjustments for the K-12 facility that they have, an adjustment for the K-6 and an adjustment for the 7-12. And like Lower Yukon has stated, this would not affect any other school district in the state at this time or any other school at this time, just because there's nobody near that 425 ADM mark to trigger this.
Follow-up Rep Story.
Yes, what is the size of the charter school, and then what is the size of the neighborhood school or the Hooper Bay school? If you could let me know the name of the charter school and then the Hooper Bay school.
Yes. Give me just a moment to look that up.
Could Mr. Stone or Mr. Levitt answer that question?
Yes.
Go ahead. Put your name on the record. Whoever is responding to Rep. Story's question.
This is Mr. Stone, and I represent the Lower Yukon School District as superintendent. I'm answering Representative Story's question about the charter school numbers. The charter school currently has 44 students, and it has a goal of reaching 75 students, 4th through 8th grade. And then the regular population between K through 12, there still are 4th through 8th grade students in the conventional school. And right now that is 430 students, I believe. Mr. Levitt, is that where that fits?
Yeah, this is Andrew Levitt. On our OASIS submission, we had, it was about 47 in the charter school, and then 421 in the Hooper Bay K through 12 school.
Thank you. And then a follow-up?
Follow-up, Rep. Story.
So, and I think this is for, was it Mr. Blackwell? So you said at this time that this would not affect any schools in rural Alaska, but when we just changed it in excluding charter schools, it is for urban Alaska too, and how does that change other charter schools?
Yes,
we probably can't predict in the future, but I'm just wondering about that.
Yes, for the record, this is Elwin Blackwell, through the chair, Representative Story. For the urban areas, they tend to fall under a, since they are so far above the 425 and have multiple school facilities, this isn't going to affect them because they already have elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and charter schools. So at this point, since we're only looking at a community with a single facility that is a K-12 facility, that's why this affects them and no one else in the state. So if you're looking at Juneau or Anchorage or Fairbanks, they all are getting separate adjustments for each one of their schools currently, even though they exceed the 425 ADM per community.
Okay, this is Chair Drummond. I'd like to note that we have to adjourn this meeting at 8:30 due to other commitments. Representative Kronk, and then we're going to hold this bill for further consideration.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. Through the Chair, so right now everything's in one building, and I don't know if I heard you misspeak, but there's a plan to separate the charter school from the school?
Mr. Stone or Mr. Levitt or Mr. Blackwell, if you could address Representative Kronk's question.
This is Mr. Stone responding to Representative Kronk, to the chair. The intention is for the charter school to eventually have their own facility. Right now they're housed within Hooper Bay Conventional School. They use two classrooms and a culture room. They call it the bilingual room, UFIC room, and that's how they house and deliver services. Ideally, it's their intention to eventually have their own facility, and they would hope to do that through either some grant opportunities and then just also through some budget surpluses that they would hope to be able to carry over.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. We're supposed to have, thank you, gentlemen, all three of you for being on this morning. We're going to hold this bill for further consideration, I would open public testimony today. There doesn't appear to be anybody here for public testimony, so let me do that. Open for public testimony on House Bill 413. Anyone in the room? Seeing no one, and there's no one online. I'm closing public testimony. I have one more question for the gentleman on the line. The charter school has a contract that began when and what is the length of that contract? It's not that easy to just stop having a charter school once you have one. Does anybody know the answer to that question?
Andrew Levitt, through the chair. So the charter school started officially July 1, 2020. That would have been the year when COVID it came to being, that when COVID first was starting, and it was initially a 5-year contract.
Okay, great. All right, and then that contract is up for renewal. A review and renewal at 5 years, and then I believe after that it goes to a 10-year contract, if I recall how charters work in the Anchorage School District. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe that is correct. This is Andrew Levitt.
Okay. Thank you very much. I want to thank all of you for being available for this discussion this morning, and I'm going to hold this bill for further consideration. Our next meeting will be Friday, April 8th at 8 a.m., where we will hear from the Institute of Social and Economic Research on the topic of Alaska per pupil K-12 spending. And with that, we're adjourned at 8:32 a.m. Thank you.